I get this question a lot. What happens when a werewolf is bitten and turned into a vampire? Or what happens when any other member of the Fera is turned into a vampire? In looking for the answer to this question, I also discovered one of my own, and hopefully it's one that you may have already thought about. Did you know that mages can also be embraced? In each case, everything turns into something absolutely horrific, and the lifespans of them are very short. And we're going to talk about the abominations. When a vampire desires to have a child, this is what they call someone who they embrace, it can be for any number of reasons. Maybe they're lonely. Maybe they regret feeding on that one person that they did. Maybe they just want some company. Or maybe they need someone that they can maneuver and manipulate to better their own circumstance. Here are the steps to a good vampire embrace. First, drain the target of all of their blood. Doesn't matter how you do it, drink it all, just release it. As long as it's out, it doesn't matter. Once the body is completely empty of all of its blood, the sire, who is the vampire creating their pawn, their thrall, their lover, whatever, all they need to do is get a little bit of their own blood into their target. As soon as that's done, that's it. The target immediately transforms into a vampire, a supernatural creature of the night. This will also be one of the most pleasurable experiences that a new vampire will ever experience in their life, aside from the kiss when they embrace somebody else. These newly created vampires are called Child, C-H-I-L-D-E. There's a very important distinction on that. Just as a fun fact, in both versions of Vampire the Masquerade and Vampire the Requiem, the same title is used. A newly embraced vampire, or a fledgling, as they might also be called, will remain under the guidance of their sire. They are responsible for every act that they do because, as a new creature of the night with a new hunger, they need to have some supervision. Because, as anyone who actually has kids will tell you, you can't leave them alone for even 2 seconds. This period in a vampire's life is also known as the accounting. Most brand new vampires, after they have been turned, will experience a very powerful, very raw hunger. It basically causes them to go into a frenzy because they're just simply not used to dealing with that kind of powerful hunger, and their blood levels are so low. That's why they need to feed, to replenish all of that. It's also at this point, right after feeding, that the vampire's body will go into something of a purge. The body is now going through the death and decomposition, and it is getting rid of all of the unnecessary waste within the body. I'll just leave that to your imaginations. This process will mostly take a couple of days, unless you're a Ventru, in which case then it'll take a couple of weeks, and if you're a Nosferatu, then it will basically take a month because your body just goes through so many changes. Now, the term abomination is used to describe a werewolf or a fera who have been turned into a vampire. These creatures are exceptionally rare. It's very difficult to capture a werewolf, let alone turn it into a vampire. And all of the Fera, the Guru, any of the other changing breeds, they are all allergic to vampiric vitae. There are also several other names that the abominations can be called: Undying Children, Pale Ones, Luna's Demons. I cannot stress this enough. Very, very few Fera will ever survive the embrace of a vampire. The ones that don't die instantly will linger for a few minutes in the most excruciating agony they've ever felt before, then they will die. For the ones that do go quick, it is painless and basically instant. From the werewolf perspective, they believe that this allergy to vampiric vitae is actually a blessing to save them from the worm's taint. There are always exceptions to the rule, though. There are very, very few, very few Fera that have ever survived being changed into an abomination, but the ones that do, holy shit, they are powerful. It is not known why Gaia has even allowed this amount of change to happen in the very small few that it does. Some werewolves believe that Hirano, which is werewolf depression, it's very serious. They believe that this has some effect on those who have survived the transition, and we will discuss some of these instances coming up. And some will actually seek out a vampire to try to embrace them because they are seeking the dark powers that they believe they can unlock. So what happens when you become an abomination? For werewolves and the Fera, they can still change their shape at will. They do lose their regenerative abilities, but they can use healing in the same way that a vampire does. by spending that built-up blood pool. Pharaoh that have changed, they will retain the knowledge of the gifts and rites that they once knew, but they can no longer learn anything else. They basically become spiritually disconnected. The only time that they can learn a new rite is from a bane itself. But abominations can learn to use disciplines the same way that vampires do. Abominations will also suffer from their own type of depression. They basically have constant psychological assault, and their mental state is always deteriorating because you are just so against what nature intended. Abominations cannot create their own vampires or their own other abominations. Their vitae is basically infertile. It's dead. Speaking in relative terms here, Garou abominations are actually more common than some of the other Pharaoh abominations. Bastet abominations will constantly lose their gnosis until it runs dry. Garal abominations also go by another name called Umphala, and if they are seen by any Garal, they are immediately killed on sight. Korax and Makole abominations, they die at the next sunrise immediately. There is one exception to this, as always, and I will talk about that one in just a minute. The Nuisha, they will always die from a vampiric embrace. The Anunnaki, they cannot be turned into a vampire, they are completely immune. Vampires just simply can't tolerate the arachnid that's in their blood. Kitsune are said to be blessed by Gaia in such a way that as soon as the first drop of blood enters a Kitsune's body, their sire is greeted with a pillar of flame that shoots up and destroys everything. They go full on nuclear. Ratkin can also be embraced, however, they're on a short clock as well because their body just starts to rot and decompose, and it just never stops until they fall over and literally fall to pieces. Abominations are feared by Garou and Kindred alike because, like I said, they are extremely powerful. And they're very mentally unstable, so when you combine instability with extreme power, it's just not a good combination for anyone. All abominations are threats to not only the Veil, but also the Masquerade. This is why vampires and werewolves actively seek to destroy these abominations when they are discovered. Now, there have been even rarer cases still where abominations have maintained their sanity, and these are the most dangerous of all. Because they can maintain sound mind with all that extra power, it's insane. Well, they're not. If even just one abomination learned to use all of their powers in the right way, they would be the most powerful thing that the Earth has ever seen. You want to bring about the apocalypse? This is one way you can go about it. One of the unbreakable laws when it comes to sorcery is that vampires may not practice awakened magic. If a vampire is to embrace a mage, their enlightened or awakened soul is immediately destroyed, or if it's not destroyed, it just moves on to the next reincarnation. The experience is so traumatic that every time it happens to a Magi, they come out of it broken in some way. Some of the Magi, if it happens to them, they will vomit out the blood that was trying to turn them, and then they will immediately die. Others will enter the realm of the dead, insane, because it broke their mind. And there is one theory put forth that it was in relation to the mages that the Tremere, they were able to advance the magical cause, so to speak. There are several records of abominations throughout World of Darkness history. I'm going to cover three of them. Alonso Montoya was born in 1847. Alonso spent his entire life in war. It was so traumatizing for him that he became disillusioned with the fight against the worm and just didn't want to do it anymore. It is believed that he may have succumbed to this Huerano werewolf depression. The fact that all of his kinfolk were killed didn't help him either. His entire pack was destroyed by machinations of a male djinn. Alonso was captured by a group of Malkavians who decided to try to turn him. And it worked. This happened in 1894. However, when he woke up, his hunger was so bad and he was so ferocious that he destroyed that entire lair. Alonso now wanders the nights alone. He is rejected by Garou, and he is also rejected by Kindred society. He has turned to some help in some unlikely places, and that would be with the Black Spiral. Harold Goodston is another Garou who was turned into an abomination. He belonged to the Silver Fang tribe and was discovered by them when he was 15. He was taken to Chicago, where his pack was attacked by a group of vampires. Himself and three others were captured that night. All of them were embraced, but only Goodston survived. For 11 years, he served his master. The vampire clan that took him was the Ventru. Goodston had so much influence and prestige, not to mention that he retained his mental abilities, he was able to outfight, outthink any vampire who tried to challenge him. Goodston's sire was destroyed, and unfortunately this released him out into the wild. He was again rejected by Kindred Society and was not allowed to return to the vampires. So much time has passed from this that he's kind of faded away from vampiric memory. I'm sure he's had a hand in this too. He changed his name to Pariah and is now on a quest to achieve Golconda. Pariah is filled with shame about his transformation, not that it was necessarily his fault. He's never fought a guru unless it was in self-defense, and he will not act to hurt them in any way. He hasn't even really raised his voice, which is saying a lot. That takes a lot of self-restraint. He also dislikes being seen in his Hamid form because of the vampiric changes that he went through. He does have a small haven in the sewers of Chicago. Very, very few Nosferatu even know he is there. But he does one day dream of being able to return to his people. Sobek is a legendary Mokole abomination. He was rumored to be embraced by Set himself, and his form is that of the appearance of a giant white or albino crocodile. Sobek was the chief of the crocodile folk, and he was mentioned in the Isis fragments. They lived in Egypt along the Nile at this particular time. This is very, very early human history. In this particular time, gods walked the earth. He ended up teaming up with a vampire Wajet and the sons of the Bubasti to protect Isis and Horus when they sought refuge. This was happening just after the time of Osiris's imprisonment. Set eventually captured the gods and took Sobek and embraced him. He was severed from Helios by Set's dark magics, doomed to exist in a state that is the opposite of everything that he and his tribe stood for. Not only would this make Sobek an abomination, but it would also make him a fourth generation Methuselah, basically making him one of the most terrifying beings that ever walked the earth. It is rumored that he is sleeping in the founding temple of Fayum, and he's surrounded by guards of ghoul crocodiles. In general, the Mokole are immune to the embrace. This would normally result in a frenzied crocodile who goes on a rampage. When the sun comes up, he dies. It took a vampire as powerful as Set, and one who is well versed in the blood magics, to overcome this immunity. This would make Sobek likely the only Mokole abomination to have ever existed. Thank you to all of my patrons who support me and help make videos like this possible. My name's Nathaniel. This has been The Maple Table. Thanks for stopping by, everyone.